If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. This is the 2022 Christmas special edition. So you may notice we have a few lucky fans in the studio. Give them a shout, yeah! This week's callers and guests are all joining us in the spirit of the holiday season. Rick is on the line. Rick is one of Santa's elves, and you're not happy with the changes at the North Pole. Is that right, Rick?
I am not. I am not impressed one bit.
What's going on, Rick?
Well, usually Santa would have us on a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
But, you know,
that's pretty long.
A 12-hour shift, I mean, that's what we're used to.
Okay.
But now there's been an overpopulation in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And there's more toys needed.
Of course.
The toys are in high demand. The PlayStation 5, that takes me about two shifts to build.
To build one of those, yeah.
Exactly. A lot of screw is involved.
Yeah.
And so Santa took us all into the room and said, you know what, elves? We're not going to, you know, get anywhere with these 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to scrap the lunches, scrap the morning grapes, and the morning grapes.
No grapes.
Yes. No grapes at all. Green, purple, leave. Because you're not getting no tea, no coffee. So we're just going to roll into work and every day and just not stopping.
Now, do you get to sleep or anything?
We sleep, but you can't let Santi know you're sleeping.
Okay.
So, you know.
You've got to sleep on the spot, kind of.
Exactly.
With the screwdriver in your hand. Or...
Yeah, and I have a thick pair of glasses, so I'll just throw them on and I'll just kind of put myself into a position that makes me look very busy, but
yeah.
I'm not actually doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having a snooze.
That's the only way you can sleep.
That's the only way. Santa is a tyrant.
Really?
And he's not like he used to be.
Okay, so he has changed. He was like a nice guy before.
Exactly.
Why do you think he's changed?
Because he's high on power.
Dave,
he's high on the Christmas power.
Okay.
And on, you know, in the good old days, you know, he'd come over and have a chat with you. But now it's like, if you're not working, he doesn't even want to know you.
All right. Okay. Well, look, Santa was too busy, so he couldn't join us. But I do have Mrs. Claus on the line, who looks after HR in Santa's workshop.
Hi.
Hi, Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
What's this all about? These seem like very inhumane working conditions.
Yeah, look, I don't want to be the one here talking about this because he's an awful.
Mind your language, Mr. Claus.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. I am, you know, and he has changed since the affair. And look, I mean, he drove me to it, and everybody knows it.
Wait, sorry, you had an affair, is that right?
Yeah, but he knows about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said originally, just go and do your thing, because he's been having them for years.
Oh,
Dave.
Right, okay.
I mean, the elves are very, you know.
No, what do you mean?
Desirable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're a saucy bunch, Dave, I won't lie.
Yeah, so Santa, obviously, you know, and I knew that going into it, obviously, as well. You know, it was clear that would be part of the deal.
But that Santa would be with elves.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In a sort of a poly-elf-morous.
Yeah.
Is that very... That was a good one. So I thought I'd be okay with it, but eventually it just wore thin, and I said, I need to get mine.
Yeah.
And sorry, we're getting a bit off topic.
No, I think it's all related. Was it with one of the elves?
Oh no, the elves are sworn to celibacy except Santa.
It just seems like a troubling power dynamic with Santa and the elves. Like
yeah.
He's their boss,
yeah.
He's their employer.
Yeah, but things are different in Lapland.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's kind of otherworldly, you know,
yeah.
And the social norms are very different up here.
Right, right. Well, on that point, though, I do have Debbie joining us as well, who's an employment lawyer, and the elves.
Oh no!
The elves have hired Debbie to defend.
Oh, no, Mrs. Claus. Okay, we've been through this.
But
before.
Where are you from? Are you from the Lapland, you know, arena, or are you from the normal world? Funnily enough, we call the rest of the world the normal world.
The normal world.
And we call our world the other world, which is unusual.
Well, I actually have a master's in other world politics. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, experience, though. Am I right now?
I know. I mean, you don't really know it until you've lived
it. No, you don't. You don't.
To be fair, though, Rick, Debbie's on your side.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
She's trying to help you guys get a better
nice
deal.
Nice to meet you, Debbie.
They're desirable, but very stupid.
The elves?
Yeah, which makes them very
vulnerable. I haven't slept in a week. Give me a break.
Well, actually, on that point, I think Santa does see you when you're sleeping. That's the thing. I mean, that came up last time when we were in a discussion like this. He did notice that you were asleep. And
so that see you when you're sleeping, that spreads across to the elves
as
well.
He sees everyone when they're sleeping, yeah.
Even through the glasses, though.
Maybe he sees Rick, but he doesn't know that he's asleep, if you know what I mean.
Yes, he sees him when he's sleeping, yes, but he doesn't know when he's awake. Yes.
Exactly, yeah. So, Debbie, look, what can the elves do? What rights do they have?
Well, sort of zero rights. I mean, when Santa formed this, I suppose, other world, he didn't really stipulate any sort of rights for any of the lower class citizens.
The Masters was what, just a one day workshop?
I actually formed the Masters myself. Yeah. I taught it and took it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I got a first, actually.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, thanks. There.
So if there is no laws, because Santa set it up that way, what, like, is there any kind of like universal laws that have a bearing here?
Essentially, we're going to try and start up some kind of elvish union.
A union.
Yeah,
okay.
With Rick at the forefront, because he is sort of a beacon of hope for the elves at
Rick?
The moment. Yeah. Yes, yeah,
yeah. Rick?
So
this Rick?
He's a sort of a working class hero sort of person.
Dave, I don't know why you find that so hard to believe.
Well, you didn't even know she was your lawyer a minute ago, so it's just a bit worrying that you're the hope.
Her voice just sounds a little different.
On the phone, yeah, of course,
Sorry.
So, Mrs. Claus, if the elves form a union, is that something you'd be worried about now as the head of HR?
Well, we'll just fire everybody.
But then who's going to make the toys and make
scabs. There'll always be scabs.
Scabs?
Yeah, just people who...
Cross the picket line,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, and
again, are you sure you want to go with Rick?
I think she's made up her mind.
Okay,
Dave.
Yeah.
I think
me and you, we're going to take over the other world.
Rick is known as the Che Guevara of elves, really.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the hair
impressive.
And the aura.
And where is Che now?
Well, you remember his name, don't you, Mrs. Claus?
Just from t-shirts, pop art.
Mrs. Claus, you say you'll have enough scabs, but obviously things are already stretched thin. That's what's caused this problem in the first place.
Yeah, well,
so
look,
how will you possibly meet your deadlines?
How much do we care about certain countries?
Oh, really? You just leave some of them out of the... just naughty the whole lot?
Yeah. And I hear the audience...
What country?
America.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
That'll save a lot of toys.
That'll save a lot of
time. The richest countries can just rely on parents.
So how about this? We just forget about America right now, and then we can give them proper working hours in the workshops.
See, this is why she
this
got
is
the
why
masters.
They are, this is why they are
at the end of the
this
day.
This is a great idea.
We are good workers. You won't get
but it's a slippery slope.
Because we live on ice and snow.
Look, to be honest, thinking about this, I don't know why I'm on Santa's side.
Right, yeah.
I just realised that.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the call you weren't.
No, and I amn't. I'm just very contrary. And I think that's why...
Love is like that. Yeah. It's complicated. It is
totally.
Complicated.
I think that's why I have no women friends.
You gave me the glasses to take me naps, so you're actually on our side.
I know.
You love us.
Yeah,
essentially,
I do,
Santa's
yeah.
a bit of a cult leader, I
thought
think.
You were going to say something else there.
But he's a bit of one of them as well.
It's a family show.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm getting a sense from you, then you're happy to...
Huge trees. 180.
180, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to give them give them back their regular hours, 12-hour shifts?
Rick, you're great, but we'll partner on the union.
Okay. Oh, so you'll join the union?
Yeah, is that a bit messed up?
No, I mean, you work for Santa as well. I mean, he is your husband, so there's a bit of a conflict there, but yeah, I think you could...
I work for my husband.
Don't you?
Well, pay me.
Doesn't pay you?
Yeah, no. That'd be weird.
Well, no, because you're working in the workshop. If anything, he's taking advantage of you as well, Mrs. Claus, and this is why you need the union.
Sounds like I'm stupid too. Well,
you won't be stupid when you're under my wing.
Not relatively.
Okay, guys, well, I'm so glad we've come to a happy conclusion. You're going to form a union and take Santa on, and best of luck with us.
That was easier than I thought it would be. Bring back the grapes.
Yeah, bring back the graves. Another important list on the union's agenda. Okay, guys, thank you so much for phoning it in. John is on the line. John is a policeman who's trapped in a hostage situation at a Christmas party. John, where are you?
How are you doing? I'm at the Red Cow in a hotel, Dave.
What's going on there?
Unfortunately, there's been a kind of a conflict in the work. They started drinking in their office, and then they got the party bus where they continued to drink to the Red Cow Inn, where unfortunately a man professed his love for an underling, a young intern named Sarah.
Yeah.
And now he's now using a fork taken from the staff of the Red Cow Inn, used for the carvery dinner they've all been at. He's now got it pressed against the neck of the CEO of the company,
and
he's on the roof. And there's snipers. We've got snipers around. The Big O, the comedian, the Big O. He was
who?
He was the entertainment. He's a rural comedian. I actually couldn't think of it. He might be dead. So the one Christmas party I was at in the Red Cow around, he was the. He's there too. He's trying to talk him down with jokes, keeping the whole thing very lighthearted. We're really hoping for a positive resolution here, but I'm going to be honest with you, Dave. My hit rate wouldn't be great with the hostage negotiating. I'm very easily distracted, and I get Stockholm syndrome from pretty much. So I always end up siding with the
And what's the guy's name who's the terrorist?
I actually, do you know what? I haven't asked him yet or anyone. Sorry. Well, what's his name's Ray? I'm getting Ray.
Ray. And you were saying off air that you actually think Ray's got a good point though.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, your one was giving him signals by all accounts. She was, you know, he'd be in the small kitchenette in the office, and like he'd be in making tea, and she'd be making tea, and she kind of squeezed by him and like brush off him, you know, and there'd be, you know, I mean, it's not that, he said it's a kitchenette, but it's not that, you know, that's, sometimes it's basically a kitchen, and, you know, she'd laugh at two out of four of his jokes, and, you know, they walked to the dark together afterward, you know, there were signals, Dave, according to him,
Okay, where are you now, John? Like, what's your position within the party?
I'm actually on the roof with him. I went up to talk to him, and I accidentally, the door swung, and it's one of those, you know, rooftop doors you can only open it from the inside. So I'm kind of stuck up here now with the hostage and the
CEO.
Yeah, well, he is the hostage. Ray's a line manager, I think, is his role.
Okay, well, let's get Ray on here. Ray, how are you doing?
Not very good, Dave. Not very good at all.
It's not going well for you here,
right? No, and it's very cold.
Right.
It's very cold on the roof on top of everything else what's racing through me head.
Yeah. What made you go up to the roof with the CEO?
I don't know what I was thinking. So many action flicks on around Christmas, and I asked one of the caterers for a fork. Next thing, I'm up here stabbing the clouds, and it's all... Dave, I don't know. I just rush of feelings.
Yeah.
My nervous system is shot to bits. And
why is that, right?
I'm looking for love.
Yeah.
I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And I saw an audience, and one thing led to another. And
it sounds like you've been struggling to find love before this, have you?
Yeah, that would be fair to say.
Have you tried the apps and that, or
who?
You know, the Tinder and Bumble, those kind of things?
No.
Yeah,
I don't know any of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just...
So where were you looking for love, aside from Sarah? Let's forget about Sarah for the moment.
The off-license. there's a the local and the bingo and that. What you were saying there about the internet, they don't encourage that with me. There's no internet access there.
Where?
And not even in the office. Laptop that they gave me, it's not even plugged in.
Oh, really? Why are you discouraged from using the internet, would you say?
A bit of a checkered past, Dave.
Okay.
They like to minimise the amount of contact that I have outside of the job and that.
Okay. John, are you aware of this checkered past?
Yeah, I am actually. We're first cousins. So. I actually know him well enough. Which is weird that I didn't know his name there earlier.
Weird, John.
When the door swung out, closed, it actually clipped me in the back of the head. So I think it just kind of rattled me a bit. Dave, he's not allowed to have internet. I've had to get rid of hard drives for this fella.
So many times. And
get rid of hard drives I've buried off the M50, and I don't drive, Dave. I have to walk up the M50 with a Dunn's Stores bag full of hard drives and bury them.
He's up and down that nice bypass so often.
Okay, I want to bring on... Sarah, who's still at the party.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going? So you guys are down below. You just carried on with the Christmas party as normal, have you?
Why stop a good time if you're having a good time?
It's sad
what's going on upstairs, but like we're all having fun. And so it's like, it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah, and it's the Red Cow Inn. Like you don't get to go there every day of the year.
Not very often.
How's the big O? Is he good?
I only got the last of a set because he kept performing while the incident was kicking off, and I arrived on time. I was in the lounge as it happens, having a Swifty, and I caught the last of his jokes. It's not for everyone, Dave. You know, PC culture the way it is.
Yeah,
and he's not as funny as me, John. Sure, he's not.
No,
he's not as funny as me. You told me that.
Conflict resolution, Dave.
You have
to tell them what they want to hear. Yeah.
So, Sarah, were you aware that Ray had feelings for you before tonight?
Well, I have this kind of effect because there's something about me and I laugh a lot. Like, I laugh a lot. And so I found that
he's got big jabs too.
I do. I have massive tits. And so it's funny. And I think it's just I laugh a lot and they laugh. They laugh when I laugh. And so I noticed that he was responding particularly well when he'd tell a joke and I'd laugh.
And John said, in fairness, he only laughed at about half of them, which is like, in fairness, that's just politeness more than anything else.
I think he's counting times when I couldn't even hear him very well. Like he mumbles sometimes.
Oh, and you would just laugh
Do you not think it's weird? Every time that I went to photocopy different things, she was there.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Every time.
What do you say to that, Sarah?
I would say I wasn't like averse to the attention. It was more just when he was putting the fork into my neck, you know? then I just started to think, you know what, that's not what dating is about this time.
Yeah.
This time. So I said, well, look, you know, put that fork down and let's go to dinner, you know? And then he was like, sure, but you're paying. And I just,
where it all went wrong.
That's where it went wrong. Because I was like, I'm not this relationship. I'm doing this the right way.
Okay.
You know, and then we started arguing over what kind of food we'd go for. And I just found him really unreceptive to my ideas.
So, Ray, it seems like you had a shot there and you blew it, mate.
Ray, you fucking idiot.
Listen, I was
even after you had the fork to her neck.
She said that she thought that was funny.
Okay.
And she also says she got jewelry, and that was the only precious metal I could find in the kitchenette.
Right, yeah.
It's the only thing I could find. Yeah. I have no money.
And yeah, so that's why you wouldn't pay for the date? Or did you?
I thought she was pulling me leg, do you know what I mean? Because I've asked her to come with me so many times, Dave. She won't come to the corner shop. She wouldn't come to the Christmas thing tonight with me. She wouldn't come.
You were both going to that, so...
Yeah, but I wanted to pick her up in a limousine.
But I didn't think he had a limousine because he said he had no money to go to supermarket. And I thought...
There was a party book bus, Dave.
We were already going to
Why
the party.
Why would you get a limousine? You missed the party bus. That's the best part of the night for
bus,
some people.
In fairness, yeah.
Well,
they have cool night lights.
To be alone with her, you know? Say sorry about the fork and there was other...
The problem is the last time we were alone he had a fork in my neck and I thought I didn't want to do that again.
Yeah,
she laughed the whole way through.
But I think maybe that's a nervous thing because she seems to laugh a lot at like nothing.
I just... it was cold on my neck.
And I'm cold now on the top of a roof.
Freezing, Dave.
And you're downstairs listening to comedian. I have better jokes than him.
I just feel like nobody made you go up there, you know? And I'm like, you could come down.
There
like,
is still down. Time to come down,
come
Ray.
Down.
No, I'm not embarrassing myself.
No, it's okay. People will understand. It's a Christmas party. These things happen.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, is the CEO...
He's dead, Dave. He's dead, yeah, he? No, sorry, I'm gonna have to arrest him. No, this.
What happened to see him?
He fell off the roof, oh, and he fell on the motorway, and he's after getting run over by like 6 cars.
Oh no!
6. He looks like a lasagna, Dave.
Oh God, Ray.
You're really on this tight, cuz.
You're probably gonna have to hand yourself in now, Ray, to your cousin there. Yeah.
They have internet in the joy.
Do they actually? I don't know.
No, in certain sales where he's going.
Yeah,
to
okay.
Will you visit me on Christmas, John?
I will have little to be at.
All right.
Okay, Ray. Well, I'm glad you're handing yourself in, John. Thanks for looking after him there. And Sarah, enjoy the rest of the Christmas party.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for coming in. Okay, I'm going to move on to my next caller. Philip is obsessed with Christmas and wants everyone to be as excited as him.
Here we go.
You're gunning for Christmas.
Christmas
Phil.
Time.
Yeah. What is it that makes you so obsessed with Christmas?
You know, it's just like it's all the feelings.
Yeah. What kind of feelings?
Connections with everybody.
Can you describe the feelings?
Warm. And your brain is like it's made out of soda pop.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean.
Christmas time.
Yeah, have you always been a big fan?
You've got a Christmas on you. Yeah. I'm working on a single, Dave.
Oh, okay, Christmas single.
Yeah.
It's a real, you know, if you can nail that, you can be set for life.
What do you think about that one? You've got a Christmas on you.
You've got a Christmas on you.
Yeah, it's about a guy who goes up to another person on the bus. Yeah. Like, sorry, you got a Christmas on you there.
What does that mean though? You've got a Christmas on you.
Well, that'll be revealed in the third
verse.
Oh,
yeah.
Which I haven't written yet.
Yeah. Do you know yourself or?
I'm figuring it out. I'm just workshopping it. I've gone up to a few people on the bus.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, you got a Christmas on you there.
And how do they respond?
That's the thing. Is like, I'm chatting to them like, now what do you think that means? Because I need a third verse for this song.
Right.
So I sing the first two verses of them, and I'm like, and now, your turn. And I look at them, and they're usually they've got off the bus at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of following them.
Oh, you follow them off the bus?
Well, yeah, I'm just like, oh, we're jiving here.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
Going
we're
well.
Jamming.
We're jamming.
Yeah. The chorus, what was the tune of
it? You've got a Christmas on you. I have a Christmas in me.
In me. Okay.
Take it out, won't you? Put it somewhere where you can keep it in your mind.
Okay, yeah, that's nice. It's nice.
It's good.
Why do you think this obsession
have
with Christmas?
Have you got any ideas, Dave, for lyrics for the third verse?
I don't.
What does it mean?
I don't.
What does it mean?
I don't know what it means.
Because they've got a Christmas on them, and I've got one in me.
In me, yeah. Like having Christmas. Wrong? Having Christmas in you metaphorically makes a bit more sense, I would think. Like,
exactly.
We've all got Christmas
exactly.
Inside our...
That's been done before.
Yeah, it has, yeah. But not on you hasn't been done before.
It doesn't make any sense. I think
that's the problem.
It's just gibberish. Okay, but, if we can get it in the third verse, we'll get there.
Okay, look, I want to bring on your wife, Etna, who's worried that this obsession is interfering with your marriage.
Look, I love this man. And you know, I've been part of...
Are you talking about me or Dave?
You, honey.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Honey.
But we do love you,
we
Dave.
We do love you, Dave.
Thank
Dave,
you.
We do love you.
We're so excited to be on your call-in show for the first time.
You've got a love on you.
What's that? Is that a song?
That's something I'm working on.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's good, right?
It is good.
I mean, I don't know what
it's
it means.
It's that kind of thing, you know, where you hear a song, you're like... God, I feel like I've heard that before somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But you haven't, so...
I've got a love under me.
Yes,
what does that mean, I've got a love on me?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, right.
But, you know...
Under is getting closer, Dave, don't you think?
We are, as you know, my husband mentioned, we're workshopping these things, so there are a lot of you know, comparisons that can be drawn between Christmas and love, but thankfully not too many. So hopefully
we our have third a long
verses
list.
Will be different.
Yes. Yes.
We have a long list on the wall.
Of?
Comparisons between love and Christmas.
And places we've been.
And places we've been. It's a kind of, it's a diagram. It's a, you know, there's three levels. We started with two. And it was quite intelligible then, but the branch, like a line.
We loved travel. Originally, it was a map with pins in it.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
The way people have those,
yes,
but
yes.
Then we met to make a list.
Nicaragua, beautiful place.
Oh, my Myanmar.
Myanmar, yeah. Wonderful, so, wonderful place.
And what's that got to do with love and Christmas?
Well, that's what we're working out. If you take the green labels, the strings, they go from Myanmar to hot toddies.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You go from there to kisses.
This is something kisses. You're better. It's hard to describe.
Is this three-dimensional?
Radio.
Is this
it's got to be three-dimensional, yeah, yeah. David. That's the only way it's going to work.
It's like a physical infographic.
I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Look, I want to bring on your twin sister, Brethna.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
How you doing, Brethna? You have a bit of a revelation for Ethna. Is that right?
That's right, I do.
Oh.
I
don't know.
There's no easy way to say this, but myself and your partner, we've been doing some Christmas things.
My business partner, Tom?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, Tom. I've heard about this now. Tom and Brethna have been doing some things together.
I'm glad.
Is that okay with you, Ethna?
I'm delighted to hear that because Tom has not been doing much else, so at least he's doing some Christmas things.
Yeah, he sits on his hole the whole time.
Brethna, why are you worried about Ethna's reaction to that?
Well, we've been working on a Christmas album.
Oh, you and Tom have?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Tom came across some lyrics in his mind. He came up with them. But they are incredibly similar to
when you
what
said,
you know, were planning.
You said came across, I think that was a bad choice.
Well,
of
in
words.
His mind, he comes across thoughts in his mind.
he does, so, in fact. He does. He'll come into the room and be like, do you know what I just came across? My memory of when I had a bike when I was 7.
You're right, he does do that.
He's just like, I was wandering around my mind. And I just stumbled across a jigsaw that I once finished.
Oh, it's a bit like that Mind Palace, Sherlock Holmes.
It's like a Mind Palace, yeah. But he's lost in there.
When I was in primary school, we had a teacher that did meditation with us, and she told us to go into our heart room.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, write that down.
Heart room?
Yeah.
Love, what was it? Love on you.
On you.
Oh, no, that doesn't work. In you would make more sense.
That could have been something.
Anyway,
really
sorry.
Nice.
It sounds like Tom has already, he's already released a single called You've Got a Love on You, is it?
It's recorded. It's coming out in the next week. And the title is You've Got Christmas Coming Out of Every Bit of You.
Oh.
Well.
Okay.
I think this is one of those sort of complimentary competition things.
Where,
you know, the birth of a category.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
If you will.
All right.
No, nobody was into non-alcoholic beer a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, just because two companies brought it out didn't mean that it was a disaster. It actually was very good. So,
new genre.
This is good. This is good.
So wait, this one's called You've Got Christmas, what is it?
Coming out of every bit of you.
Okay, now, in the third verse, does it explain what that means?
It's a bit graphic.
Okay, right. Yeah, I think I follow the meaning. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Do you go through? Do you list them one by one? Which bits of the view?
You've got the turkey out of here and the.
Oh, I was going to say, like, you got Christmas coming out of your eyes. You got Christmas coming out of your nose.
Ears, nose, all of the main parts.
But no mention of real fluids.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, it's just, just replace the word with Christmas if it's not suitable for public consumption.
Oh,
okay.
So you've got Christmas coming out of your, you know.
Your Christmas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. You've got Christmas coming out of your Christmas. Now, you guys think this is a good thing for you, that this could be, as you said, the launch of a new category. What would this be called? What would this category be called on Spotify?
I suppose it would be...
Christmas preposition music.
Yes. Christmas preposition songs. Yeah. I love it. Now, if Tom's...
And not old Christmas, because mine is about love.
Love, of course.
Which is tangentially related.
Probably
well,
just preposition songs.
According to our graphs, Edna...
Yes, but I don't think we can communicate those graphs quick enough that anyone will ever catch on.
What about France?
What about it?
France maps to a good handshake, which maps.
Oh, sorry. Yes, no. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Look. We won't try
it's too long
and
to
it's
explain.
Too much. It's too complicated and
it'd
too
be in the album
private.
Art anyway.
The three dimensional.
Yeah. It'll
graphic.
Be a pull-out thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. I'm excited about this. What's your involvement with Tom Bretna? What are you doing in the process?
I do a lot of the recording, backing vocals. He's the come across ideas man, really, behind everything.
Do you think Tom could help these guys workshop like what's missing from their songs, or could you help them?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure we could all work together to come up with something.
I do already work with Brendan.
Tom Brendan. But the business isn't song related, is it?
The business is no. It's the opposite to songs.
What's should. The opposite of a song?
Beef.
Oh, yeah.
We have a cattle mart.
That is the opposite of songwriting.
Like,
not
cows, because they can be musical, but beef.
Yeah.
Apart from on the Smith song, Meat is Murder. That's the one thing where they cross
over. And sometimes the complete opposites can, meet in the middle.
So to speak.
Dave, are you trying to write a song right now?
No, but what I'd love to do is try and finish one of your songs.
Oh, gosh.
So try and write the third verse.
Or which one do you want, Dave?
Well, then what'll we do?
Yeah.
Release it, I guess?
But if... I feel like this is one of those things that if we finish it, we'll divorce.
I thought we were just going to disappear.
I don't think either of those things have to happen, guys.
Well,
what is the songwriting got to do with your marriage?
Well,
like?
I think our whole thing now is just workshopping
songs, morning, noon, and night. Okay. Never getting to the third verse.
Okay, so this is actually kind of the only thing keeping you going?
It's kind of like tantric sex.
Oh.
It is. Which we're having right now, Dave.
Okay. I didn't realise that.
Yeah. You don't mind, do you?
I prefer if you weren't.
Well, Dave, I mean, we're going close to the end of it now. I mean, this is a bit...
But not yet.
No, not yet. Oh, no.
Wait, now, what was your song again? Love is...
On... Late. You've got a love on you.
Could that be tantric sex related?
I mean, I think we've established that everything can relate to everything.
Yeah.
So I could certainly make up some sort of link, but it would be tenuous.
But maybe it would be a great song. I mean, a lot of song lyrics are kind of tenuous, you know?
True.
Yeah. Bretna, what do you think?
Bretna, what do you think? For
you
once
think
in
for
your
once
life.
Once in your life, Bretna, I always talk about Tom's thoughts. What do you think?
I have opinions. I just need to check with Tom first.
And they're going to hear Tom. In the background.
There. I personally feel uncomfortable knowing that the two of you are getting a kick out of this.
No one said we were having a good time.
It's awful. It's absolute drudgery. We're just getting through this now. We started on it and we're just going to have to carry it
we
through.
We ate
now.
Lunch a little while ago.
Yeah. Could you know how difficult
is that making things
it is?
Worse? It's going to sit on you.
Do you know how difficult it is to
you
cook?
Had a lunch
you'll have Christmas coming out of you in no time.
Cook a hot lunch while having tantric sex is nigh on impossible, Bretna. Think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I know Tom would be impressed. I'm sure he'd love to work with you. Ugh.
He does work with her.
But in a more
creative way.
Do some actual work
sense.
For once.
So you don't have any suggestions for finishing the song?
I can't remember what the first two verses were.
That's going to make it difficult.
That doesn't although bode I didn't know well, I was but for the chart.
Remember, because we didn't share.
Yeah, we haven't sung the first two verses.
We only shared the first.
We've only done the chorus.
I mean, do you want to, wouldn't you want to sing the first, or even just give us a verse each?
Okay,
even?
Well, I'll sing my song. I mean, it's a completely different song.
Yeah.
You've got a Christmas on you.
Yeah.
You've got a Christmas love on you.
Yeah.
It's a totally different song.
Totally different, yeah.
So the verses won't be related at
all. No.
Oh, I'm on the bus, and you are too, and won't you look at us? Sure, we're sitting here, and we're shoulder to shoulder. The bus is warm, and I'm getting colder, because you've got a Christmas on you. I've got a Christmas in me. What's it doing there? Won't you let me help me get it out? You've got a Christmas on you. Your jumper is nice, but there's something wrong.
Wait, are we into verse two now?
This is verse two, sorry, yeah. Well, I've got the first two verses.
Yeah. You, sorry, go again.
Okay.
No, not from the top, just verse two.
No, that sigh was about something else.
That was the sigh. Yeah, that was it, Dave. We're done now with the tantric sex.
Oh, you just finished?
Yeah, we just finished.
Okay.
Good to get that out of the way. Done for today, anyway. We'll be back into it tomorrow now, of course.
But, for another 5 hours?
For another five hours, yeah. Just start the day off. But we're good to get glad to get that done. How are you feeling, Gretna? Yeah, I just feel kind of, you know? You just kind of, you ever feel just muh after 5 hour tantric sex, Dave?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, that won't work.
Do you want the end of this sandwich?
What?
You want the end of this sandwich?
I do, in fact. Thank you.
So, one thing I noticed about the song is it doesn't feel super Christmassy up top. There's a lot of talk
well,
about...
you got to get to the bus.
Sorry?
It's on the bus.
Yeah, but why does it need to be on a bus? I mean, you're talking to people about it on the bus, but the song...
What? How does Paul McCartney's one start, you know?
I can't remember.
It's getting dark. The lights are low.
Yes.
It's
kind of Christmassy. It's setting the mood.
Have you ever been on a bus when it wasn't Christmas, Dave? Yeah. What are you talking about?
All the time.
Oh, did they run?
They run all year round, yeah.
I thought that was just they were practicing for Christmas.
No. See, I think you need to open up with like reindeer, sleigh bells, snow,
I'm
something.
Not... All right. I don't know
second
how I'm going
to second time,
get...
wow.
Second time.
You just did it.
Oh, God, yeah. God, it's coming out of me, Dave. I don't know how to stop this now. This is...
Yeah. Well, look, maybe I should let you guys go to...
so oh, it's coming weird now, Dave. Something's going on.
You probably shouldn't have come on the call.
Bretna, call Tom. I don't know what's happening to me.
Don't call Tom, Bretna. Just you give the advice.
I think...
I think he's got a lot of Christmas coming out of
I think he's got a lot of Christmas coming out of you. Send me over the mixtape for that song, maybe. When you've wrapped things up.
When I wrap, you think I should wrap it up?
I think you should case it in something for protective, for safety measures.
I've stuck my thumb in it. Like, you know, the death point in the
her, so, her.
What? Well, I stuck my thumb in her as well, of course, but I.
I think we're out of time. Yeah. We're out of time, I think. We'll have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for.
Thank you. That was good.
And best of luck with the songs. I hope you get them finished. And
Christmas coming out of you, coming out all over December 23rd.
Oh, fantastic. Jesus, bit late for Christmas number
late.
One.
Well,
late release.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for phoning it in.
As the year comes to a close, we just wanted to thank all our listeners for tuning in to shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network throughout 2022. We'd especially like to thank all the fantastic Headstuff Plus members who have supported their favourite podcasters to keep doing what they love to do. You can join hundreds of fellow supporters on headstuffpodcasts.com and get access to loads of bonus content. From all of us here at Headstuff, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
My next guest joining me in the studio is Frosty the Snowman. Frosty. How you doing?
Hiya.
Hi. What's your kind of deal, Frosty? You can appear to kids sometimes. They'll stick a hat on the snowman, and you appear. Is that how it works?
Yeah. The fundamental issue is, or the thing, how I came to be was there was like a lonely child, a very odd child, a child who had no friends. And basically, he, you know, as you do, you build a snowman, you take a load of snow, you put it together, you make a, you know, a simulacra of a human, and
we know what a snowman
you know,
is.
And you build it, and you give it features, and then, you know, most snowmen aren't real, they don't come to life. But this child was so fucking depressed that he made a wish to God, or whatever, I don't know, and he wished me into sentience.
Right.
And that's been my life now. That's it. A child wished me into sentience. And now this is it. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I don't have. You can wish something into sentience, and you know, a child's idea of sentience is very basic. And yeah. I know I can see other humans living their lives, and I'm not that.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it. You know.
You know. There's something missing.
There's
there.
Fundamental thing. I don't have a soul.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no soul.
Okay.
And I can feel it. I can feel it inside me.
Okay. Well, look. I didn't realize that was going to be such a tragic story.
I'm really sorry. That I, no one's ever given me a platform before to say these things aloud. So,
what is it you want to do?
What do I want? Yeah. I want to die, Dave.
Have you tried?
I can't live in it. But I think it's until, I don't know, a child who is somehow more depressed than that child can
wish
me death.
Dead?
Can wish me dead.
Right. Have you tried, like, I don't know,
finding children to wish
no,
death
No, God,
me?
No. Tried to kill yourself.
Because I have done that. Oh, I've tried to kill myself so many times.
Yeah.
But I'm just ice and I'm frozen water. Yeah. So how do you kill
you
that?
You can't kill that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, look, I want to bring on the little boy who's now a grown-up man, Killian. Frosty visited you as a child and you were also left kind of traumatised by the event.
That's right, Dave, I was.
what happened?
Well, basically, when I first imagined my best friend into existence, I thought it was going to be sort of like a kind of a Disney movie sort of experience.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was going to have adventures. They were going to teach me something, I teach them something in return. But actually, Dave, they just, I mean, from day one, they would not stop just screaming and kind of like asking me why I did it or what was the point of it or can I undo it or is it supposed to be just forever, like do I have the power to melt them, or and to be honest Dave, it kind of took the fun out of the whole thing.
Yeah. Did Frosty do any like fun wintery things with you?
Absolutely
take you
not
flying or
flying.
I don't know.
What do you think, wishing something into sentience does, Dave? It just gives you a consciousness.
Yeah. I just thought you might have some cool powers. I know.
The problem is, Dave, I've been able to do this for a while and I didn't know. It was only when it was someone who had, like, I put a mouse on them that they were actually able to talk.
That so, I could scream.
Yeah. But I've done this. I did this for years with things and I didn't even know they actually had that they were aware.
There's a pillow in his room that doesn't have a mouse, but I can hear it screaming.
Yeah. I think, Dave, the biggest problem is the things I make sentient can hear each other, but no one else can hear them.
I think so.
Unfortunately, by giving it over to Frosty, he was finally the one that could give a mouthpiece to an entire subjugated people.
And there are so many. And I'm lucky. I got off lucky.
I know.
You don't want to know what he uses the pillow for.
Now, Frosty, be quiet now.
It's ironic that your name is Killian because I wish you'd kill me.
I want to bring on.
Actually, appropriate, I suppose.
Yeah, but you don't kill me, do you?
If I could, I would. I would take this shame off you. I would take this nightmare away. But
you can't reverse it.
I haven't tried, but.
Have you any idea why you have the power to make items sentient?
Well, if I had to think now, Dave, I think I was born out of a deal with the devil. Because my parents they could never have children, and then I think they said they'd promise the soul of the first child to Satan, or no, what's it? Beelzebub.
Okay.
If only, but that doesn't make any sense. So if they said, what was it they told me? If they said they wanted a kid, because they could never have a kid, but then the only way they'll be able to get a kid was that the man at the crossroads appeared to them and playing a guitar. And he said, I'll give you a baby, but the baby's going to be able to make things sentient.
Okay, so it was a devil's bargain.
I suppose, but, you know, but he said the baby will always be depressed.
That was the catch. No matter how many...
he'd have satanic powers, but it'll always be just a little bit melancholy.
Okay, well, look, I want to bring on Guard Inspector Colm O'Reilly. You've been trying to track Frosty down for years. Is that right?
He's a slippery minx.
Yeah. What's he done, though, that the police are interested?
Just keeps attacking children.
Oh, this is going back to what you were saying about trying...
We've had... I cannot tell you, Dave, the amount of children I've had calling up. I see a child walking into the station, I know. Frosty.
I just want to die. Frosty. I just want to die.
So, that's one many quotes I've heard from the children.
Ah, Frosty.
Frosty, remind me again, what was the logic behind you want to find another kid who's more depressed?
More
or
depressed.
Upset?
This is my logic, and look, it might be flawed because I don't have, you know, the powers of thought and conscience that you know.
You seem
normal...
to be doing okay.
I've lived a long time. I mean, what age are you now? You're in your 50s,
right? Yeah,
57. I've been alive for so many years, and I've been trying to figure this out. And I figure if I can find a child that's more depressed, that they will. And also, I just want to hurt them to try and feel something.
Frosty, can I ask you a serious question?
You can.
Are you trying to make children more depressed than I was as a child?
Of course I am. Of course I am. That's all I want.
Now, Frosty, that's not why I made you sentient.
Why? Why did you make me sentient?
To have a best friend.
It's horrifying, honestly. And 50 years. My father was the first person on the Frosty case.
Right.
And my first day
I think you'll find it was
duty,
called the Frosty Files.
We called it the Frosty case, and I wish my father had the talent for alliteration that you have. But he was too busy spending his life trying to hunt you down and track you down and bring you to justice.
Like, have you ever come close to catching Frosty?
Not even a lick.
Oh, really?
You'd think it'd be easy to find a snowman.
Yeah.
But only comes out at Christmas time. It turns out a lot of people wearing scarves and hats.
Yeah.
The amount of obese men I've tackled to the ground. It's awful. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I was relieved of my duties.
Okay.
Because of all of the obese men I've been attacking.
So you're actually, you mean you're calling yourself Guard Inspector, but you're not really anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, you are what you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Okay, so you're still dressing up as a policeman.
A police, yeah, but with a leather jacket so people know that I'm outside the law.
Okay, right. I presume that's illegal in itself, to going around in a guard uniform when you're not a guard, right?
I don't know. I didn't really do much studying for my guard exams. I have a very loose grasp of the law.
Okay.
But I do know
your dad just got
sentient snowmen coming to life and doing unspeakable acts to children. Probably illegal.
Definitely illegal. Yeah. Frosty, are you sorry for what you've done? Would you consider handing yourself
in?
To this man, because he's a criminal as well.
Think you understand it. I can't have the concept of sorry.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't created.
Dave, look into those two lumps of coals for eyes. Yeah. So imagine it, because this is over.
I don't know how else
to do it. Frosty's here with
me. I don't have a soul.
Wait, Frosty's in with you in studio.
Yeah.
What's the address?
I don't want to give it out.
I can't have this show.
No, we've had trouble with that in the past.
Children are at stake. What are you talking about? You're withholding justice.
Listen.
Where's my leather jacket? Deborah, the jacket.
You're not even a guard.
Frosty, can I actually pick you up on something there?
Yeah.
You did a bit of alliteration a second ago.
Yeah.
Now, that would suggest you have a poetic soul within you. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit there,
yeah,
Frosty.
Yeah.
I think you only believe you don't have a soul. But I think you actually might.
But why, when I do bad things, does it not make me feel bad?
Just humans who do bad things and they don't feel anything.
That's true. I mean, look at this guy.
Wow.
Yeah, Dave, I'm going to pick up on your tone there. It seems like you're far more sympathetic.
I'm not sympathetic towards Frosty at all. I'm trying to get Frosty to turn themselves in.
Do you know how easy your way to
why
get
would
Frosty
I do
in
that?
Would be to give
why
you the bloody
would I
address?
Do that?
Yeah, to be honest, Dave, I don't know why Frosty would do that, because...
I don't want you coming to the studio.
I'm coming.
I don't want you coming here. I'll call the actual police before I go.
I think he should be arrested.
They don't have the courage to do what needs to be done.
What needs to be done, Colin?
Killing Frosty. All right,
Please kill me. If you can kill me, I will hand myself over to you. In a second.
Yeah.
Dave, sounds like we're making real progress here.
Well, I don't know if
you pop over that address. I'll hop over and I'll find it. A hairdryer or something.
Dave, am I correct in thinking I'm the only one here who hasn't committed a crime?
You're the one who created the monster.
Yeah, That's not a crime. Well, That's not a crime.
I think it's morally dubious to be bringing...
Oh, now we're getting into morality, aren't we, Dave? Sorry.
Can I ask, have you ever read a novel by the name of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein? Because spoiler alert, Frankenstein ate the monster, okay?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dr. Frankenstein created the monster.
You raise an interesting point, though. Frosty, have you ever thought about taking vengeance on Killian?
Oh, I've tried to do that multiple times. Yeah. What happened? Oh, I love him too much.
Exactly. That's what I dreamt of when I wished
built
him
in.
There's nothing I can do about that.
Now, don't get me wrong, Dave. You get very close. Right. Very close.
Oh, I'll be within inches.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then
I look in those beautiful, beautiful eyes. Right.
And then it turns into a hug.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's nice. A hug with twigs isn't the nicest hug, but I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see Frosty anymore, Killian?
Well, I do whenever I close my eyes.
Likewise, Killian. Likewise.
So we're kind of bonded through a sort of satanic ritual in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a thin line between love and hate, you know?
But I see everything that I make sentient. Toast does.
Okay, yeah. When you close your eyes,
when I close my eyes, I'll see it all in one. It's like a grid.
And you said you've never tried to reverse the process.
No, I've been very busy, Dave.
Would you, for Frosty's sake, would you try and?
Well, that depends if there's any Frosty. Do you think there's anything worth saving here? I mean, like, I am still very depressed.
I think if we haven't solved that issue after 50-odd years, I don't know whether we're going to...
Change doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, but it does. It should happen quicker than 50 years.
All right, I suppose I can give it a go, Dave.
Okay, what do you think you need to do to make this happen?
Do you have any sheep's blood?
No.
I'm afraid you're out of luck there, Frosty.
Okay, you'll have to crack on, so, Frosty. Just keep on trucking.
Yeah, I will.
Maybe you'd lay off the kids, though, for the sake of...
No.
The kids? Okay, Colm, I'm afraid I can't give you the address.
I would really appreciate it.
No, I'm sorry.
You'd be doing me a solid and the children of Ireland a solid.
I realise that.
It really seems negligent.
I know, but it's like a documentary maker. You see, like, two sharks.
Frosty, could we just, like, meet up somewhere and I'll kill you?
Don't do that.
I just don't believe that you can kill me.
But maybe it's worth a shot. I mean, you've tried to kill yourself, but have you had someone else try and kill you?
Yes.
Oh, lots of people?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
What if I brought like a big warm blanket? That might like melt you.
No, you can't. These are stupid ideas.
What about like a bowl of porridge on your head?
What?
That'd be hot. It might melt through your skull or something and destroy your brain.
I mean, maybe it's worth meeting up with Colin and just trying a few of these things.
I don't like the sound of this guy, Dave.
He seems like a bad dude.
And I just don't like to fill my life with that negativity, you know?
I don't want to get political, Dave, but also I don't believe we have the death penalty in this country.
No, that's true.
Or what?
Euthanasia, so, you know, can't be encouraging that kind of thing. It's an unusual case, though. Like, legally, it's a snow person, you know what I mean?
Legally, it's a snow person.
Yeah.
I really wish I paid more attention in Garda school, because I would know the answers to these questions, but, like, I feel like I can kill you scot-free.
You think this came up in Garda school?
I was just mostly just jotting down images of Frosty porridge on his head. Really, I was knuckling down on this porridge.
You really wanted the porridge thing to work out.
Dave, where do you find these people? I just think this guy has bad vibes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Avian Murphy, Mark Canton, Pearl O'Rourke, Hannah Mamelis, Amy Hughes, Clara de Bruin, Peter McGann, Ali Fox, Laura O'Leary, Ro Carey, and John Spillane. And little Max for popping in as well. Folks, do you have anything you want to plug? Just jump on a mic if you have something you want to plug. Mark, you've always got something. So
I've always got something to plug. I have an improv podcast called Look What's After Happening. And we did shows in the Dublin Fringe Festival, live shows with lots of funny people in them, like Dave Coffey and Pearl O'Rourke. And they are available as pay-per-views on our website, theimprovpodcast.com. So you can watch all of the shows for €16. And my gosh, they're a lot of fun.
You have a website called The Improv Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing. We've got theimprovpodcast.com.
You should really set up a podcast called The Improv Podcast.
Well, maybe we should do that. But currently, the podcast is called Look What's After Happening.
Oh, amazing. That's brilliant. Look forward to watching back those brilliant performers you mentioned.
Yeah.
Does anyone else?
I'll just plug. So Dream Gun Film Reads are doing Christmas shows at Smock Alley. So December 20th to 23rd, where we'll loose. Yeah, Hannah's going to be in it.
Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, yeah. Star Wars, and Die Hard.
And Die Hard. Christmas classics through and through. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, jump on, Ali.
Also, myself and my long-term best friend, Peter McGann, will have songs up on the Collaborations Agency Bandcamp in the next couple of weeks after we perform live in the Sugar Club next week. So those songs will be available to download online and the proceeds go to charity. So have a listen, have a laugh, cool. Give your money. And thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you all, guys. This is the last full episode of Phoning It In for 2022. I want to thank all the guests who've joined me throughout the year and you, the listeners, for tuning in. I especially want to thank everyone who supports this show through Headstuff Plus or Patreon. I'm going to be taking a break from the podcast for a couple of months, but I will be back in 2023. In the meantime, please listen back to older episodes, recommend the show to a friend, or follow us at Phoning It In Show on Instagram for more updates. Finally, thank you to Headstuff Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for 2022. Merry Christmas and thanks for listening. Yay!
Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.